I'm Ben Grapevine, and this is The Grapevine. Happy holidays. It's time for the last episode of the year, an additional story about holiday traditions. This one might start out a little weird because I'd originally recorded a 3-minute intro that ended in a vicious assault on fruitcake. It's not really in the spirit of the show, and it's definitely not in the spirit of the holiday, so instead of listening to me talk about how awful holiday foods can be, I'll say that this episode is inspired by holiday food traditions around the world. The stranger, the better. For example, in England, Christmas means Christmas pudding, a holiday pudding dish made from dried fruit and animal fat. In Russia, Christmas means it's time to break out the holodets, cold meat served in gelatin. In Norway, it's time for schmalahove, or fermented sheep's head. And in southern Africa, it might not be Christmas without fried mopane worms, tasty, giant moth caterpillars. But for 3.6 million families in Japan, Christmas means one thing: Kentucky Fried Chicken. It all started in 1970 when the manager of KFC's first Japanese restaurant, Takeshi Okawara, decided to start serving specifically marketed Christmas party barrels for the holiday season. The idea came from a group of foreigners in Japan who couldn't find anywhere to eat a traditional American turkey dinner on Christmas and settled for chicken instead. In 1974, 4 years after Okawara's restaurant opened, the Christmas party barrel promotion was adopted across the country, with restaurants promoting Kurisumasu Niwa Kentucky, or Kentucky for Christmas. In an interview with the BBC, marketing professor Jonas Roca explained that before the KFC campaign, there were no widespread Christmas traditions in Japan, leaving the space wide open for Kentucky Fried Chicken to build one. Indeed, it makes sense, given Japan's religious demographics, that Christmas wouldn't have made a significant mark on the country in 1970. Even today, Japan's population is only about 2% Christian. With that in mind, KFC benefited tremendously from establishing what Business Insider calls secular and commercial traditions with the simple message: at Christmas, you eat chicken. The original Christmas party barrel was just chicken, but today, KFC's Christmas offerings are more extensive and particular, with options such as cake, ribs, stuffed roast chicken, and a special holiday wine. According to their website, barrels currently go for 4,100 Japanese yen, or about $36. The stores embrace the holiday too, dressing up statues of Colonel Sanders in Santa Claus costumes. That's another thing worth noting. It's not explicitly related to the holiday, but these statues are super common outside Japanese KFCs, and they have a role to play in modern Japanese culture. In 1985, a Japanese baseball team, the Hanshin Tigers, won their first tournament in 21 years. Overjoyed and exuberant, fans of the team took to the streets in rowdy celebration, partaking in such festivities as stealing a full-sized Colonel Sanders statue and throwing him into one of the most polluted rivers in Japan. While the Tigers would go on to win the country's national championship that year, they haven't been able to replicate that level of success ever since, leading some to suggest their misgivings were a result of a curse put on the team by none other than the Colonel himself, who had cast misfortune upon them from the bottom of the Dotonbori River. As the statue stayed lost underwater, the Tigers continued to fail. They made it to the national championships again in both 2003 and 2005, but were defeated in both series. Then, in 2009, a diver entered the Dotonbori to search for unexploded bombs and came up with something definitely different. Badly corroded, but still recognizable, the statue of the Kentucky Colonel was recovered and brought to the surface, and the Hanshin Tigers won the Japan series the next day. Okay, I made that up. They still haven't won the Japan series yet. The Colonel isn't that forgiving. Still, it's an interesting story, and it only gets more interesting the deeper you go. The guy who originally threw the statue in the river was an American who played for the Hanshin Tigers, Randy Bass, who would later retire from baseball and currently serves as an Oklahoma State Senator. Anyway, back to the real story. Christmas. So far, we've established that KFC serves Christmas dinner in Japan, which really isn't a big deal. What makes this so impressive is the magnitude of it all. KFC's holiday meals are available for pre-order, and customers who fail to plan ahead can expect a long wait in line for as long as 2 hours. As a result, some customers order months ahead of time. Exacerbating the issue is that, according to the BBC, Christmas is also considered a romantic holiday in Japan, something more in the vein of Valentine's Day. So while some Japanese couples may spend the night in upscale, fancier restaurants, others dress up for a table for two at KFC. Additionally, KFC Japan is continuously trying to broaden their claim on Christmas in the country. Takeshi Okawara, the manager of the country's first restaurant and inventor of the promotion, would later go on to become CEO of KFC Japan. Since then, the company has continued to market their Christmas barrels and expand into new markets. More recently, they've introduced an offer to customers on some commercial flights out of Japan. If you fly between December 1st and February 28th, you'll be able to order in-flight fried chicken, courtesy of the Colonel. The Grapevine is written and produced by me, Ben Grapevine. Big thanks to Business Insider for their article, How KFC Made Christmas All About Chicken in Japan, to the Smithsonian for Why Japan is Obsessed with Kentucky Fried Chicken on Christmas, and BBC Capital for Why Japan Celebrates Christmas with KFC. Thanks also to Reuters for their piece, Colonel Sanders Still Smiling After 24-Year Japan Dip. Special thanks, as always, to those of you who continue to listen and support the show. This is something I do for fun, so I hope you enjoyed listening to these as much as I enjoy putting them together. These last two episodes were put together pretty quickly in a mad rush toward Christmas, so I apologize for any mistakes or production issues that may still exist. This is the last episode of The Grapevine for 2018. I put Goat Ball out in April, and it feels like we've come a long way since then. Big thanks again to those of you who have listened and who continue to listen. Merry Christmas, and happy holidays.